We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ready, down, put.
This is the Bear Report Podcast. With Zach Pearson, and Aaron Lenning, providing extensive coverage of the Chicago Bears.
Go Bears!
Presented by Blue Wire Pods. And now, here are your hosts, Zach Pearson and Aaron Lenning.
What's up, Bears fans? Welcome to another edition of the Bear Report Podcast. The offseason continues on, and we are about a month away from the 2024 NFL Draft to be held in Detroit. Finally, some clarity on what the Chicago Bears are going to do with number one overall. Still some confusion on what they're going to do at number nine overall. Are they going to stay there, take a wide receiver, take an edge rusher, offensive lineman? Will they trade the pick? We're going to break down the latest with the Bears, including some moves they've made over the past couple weeks, as well as a draft. Before we get into that, though, let me bring in my co-host, Aaron Lemming. Aaron, it's been a while since we've talked, and a lot has gone on with the Bears in that time.
Yeah, it was a bad time for me to be gone for a week, and yeah, everything else that's gone on. I mean, I'm just trying to think about it. It's like, what? So the Keenan Allen trade happened, Justin Fields got traded, and then I'm trying to think what else. I feel like there's been a few other things. I mean, pretty much, I think at this point in time, I think we pretty much know that the Bears have locked in that Caleb Williams at number one. I think it's going to take something catastrophic to happen at this point. But it's also been something, I mean, frankly, man, we've been talking about this for months. I think we've kind of treaded somewhat lightly just because it seemed to be such a hot button topic. But, I mean, the obvious finally happened. The obvious that is still yet to come is the fact that, like I said, barring something catastrophic, Caleb Williams is going to be the guy. And now I'm kind of just hoping that everybody can get on the same page. And I think some of the people who are upset or don't want Caleb Williams or don't like Caleb Williams as a prospect have spent so much energy hating the guy because they wanted Justin Fields to stay that they haven't objectively sat down and actually watched him play. And I know a lot of people are basing their opinions on a few games in 2023, but I mean, dude, we've talked about it a lot. You know I'm an Oklahoma fan. You know I've followed Caleb Williams going back to high school. Like, this kid is the real deal. I honestly, like, it sometimes I have to kind of stop myself and be like, holy crap, like, barring something crazy, the Bears haven't Bears themselves yet. And they fell in the number one pick for the second year in a row. And, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I look at this with Caleb Williams and say, like, he is one of, I would say, the top four or five quarterback coming out of the draft over the last 30 or 40 years. And the Bears have a chance without trading up, without having to do anything crazy, and also having another first-round pick at number nine, and sit there and just take him. Just make the obvious move and hope that this is what finally fixes the Bears' quarterback woes.
Yeah, I mean, and they've kind of picked their direction here with the trade of Justin Fields to Pittsburgh. You know, that happening St. Patrick's Day weekend, and then the Caleb Williams Pro Day last week at USC. And, yeah, I'd be shocked if it wasn't Caleb Williams, but we've talked about it. We've kind of stuck by our points all offseason. It made more sense to go with the younger quarterback, the rookie coming into the draft, quote-unquote generational prospect. Because you're just taking a chance that he's going to be better than Justin Fields. And, you know, it was a crappy situation because Justin Fields is a nice guy and, you know, he's kind of done wrong by the Bears there. The draft compensation was not what I think a lot of us thought was going to be originally. As time went on, kind of was, you know, a realization like, oh, maybe the compensation's not going to be great. But now we can kind of move forward. And now it's very likely going to be Caleb Williams. It's time to build around Caleb Williams, you know, a Heisman Trophy winner, a guy who played with a really crappy defense at USC, a guy who put up big numbers. Everyone wants to point to the Notre Dame game as one where he struggled, but I mean, he played well against a lot of good defenses. You know, Washington was a good defense. They went to the national championship. He played well. He actually outplayed J.J. McCarthy, essentially, when Michigan beat Washington in the national championship. It's just, it's time to focus on Caleb Williams and what the Bears are going to do now with number nine. And the point that I keep going back to is this is a situation unlike any other number one pick at quarterback going into. The Bears have DJ Moore. They have a really good run game now with the addition of DeAndre Swift. You know, they have three capable backs in that backfield. They have an emerging tight end. They have, you know, an offensive line that has some really good pieces. Darnell Wright, Tevin Jenkins. They got to kind of find a couple more, I think, for the future. They have another weapon in Keenan Allen that they went out and got, a wide receiver. And they have a defense that is on the rise. We saw exactly what Montez Sweat could do with this defense when he was traded for last year. Get another edge rusher. You know, another pass rusher, boost up that defensive line. It's just overall, it's such a really good situation for Caleb Williams to be going into, and one where, yeah, he's probably going to have some rookie struggles. Almost every rookie does. You know, even those times last year, CJ Stroud had some struggles. He put together a hell of a rookie season, though. But it's also a position where Caleb Williams can be put in to succeed right away.
Yeah, well, and I think that's what a lot of people are missing here, or you know, don't want to see or whatever the case may be, is that, yeah, this is, I mean, arguably speaking on paper, again, I mean, this is all on paper at this point, because this is all we have to go off of. This is arguably the best situation that any number one overall pick has stepped into at the quarterback position. I think Andrew Luck's the only other one where you maybe kind of make an argument. And frankly, the Colts weren't that good. And he was just that good in his rookie year. But I mean, yeah, just look at what he's coming into. I mean, they've got a good defense, like you said, on the rise, although I feel like their secondary and their linebacking core are really good. I feel like they've taken, I don't know if I'd say a considerable step back, but in terms of my expectations, they've taken quite a bit of a step back on the defensive line. I mean, I like Jervon Dexter. I think handing him the three-tech job and saying, all right, well, we're going to roll with what we got, I think is a little crazy, but you know, it is what it is. It's, you know, it's resource allocation. And then the same thing at defensive end. I mean, you're looking at this and you've got, okay, you know, if you want to count DeMarcus Walker as a viable starting you know, defensive end opposite of Montez Sweat, okay, cool. I don't particularly agree. I think he's more of like a rotational three that can also play inside. But again, I mean, you're looking at depth right now and there's just not a whole lot of it, either a defensive tackle or defensive end. But with that being said, they still got the draft. They're not as flush with cap space as what people want to make it seem like. I've kind of broken it down a few times. I mean, realistically, when these other four contracts finally toll, they're all going to be veteran minimum. Most of them are going to be the veteran salary benefits. So really, you're looking at the Bears having right around, let's just say, $22 million in space. But then when you account for, you know, almost a $12 million draft class, you're down to 10. And then with in-season spending, you know, getting the 53 practice squad, all that kind of stuff. I mean, you're talking anywhere from, you know, all of that combined, you're talking anywhere from, you know, $7, $8, maybe $9 million. I mean, they're basically like, if you look at it from a functionality standpoint, they're already kind of running on fumes. Now, again, they haven't made a crazy amount of cuts. There's not really many cuts that could save them a ton of money. They could restructure a few deals, whatever. It is what it is. But I don't think the Bears are going to do anything like that unless they come out of the draft. Like, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, obviously, you know, we know a quarterback's going number one, assuming that they don't trade down to like, you know, two or three, like a weird amount of people are rooting for them to do right now. And, you know, they have the pick at number nine. They're either going to come away with a receiver, an offensive tackle, or a defensive lineman, whether that's Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Latu, or, you know, maybe even, you know, Byron Murphy. But it's like, so then, you know, your next pick is at 75, you know, so it's one of those things where maybe you get a solid complimentary number three receiver, but you start kind of looking at it and, you know, all of these holes barring, you know, some crazy trade back where they get a second or third round pick back in the you know, at nine, and they trade back into like, you know, 15 to 19 range, whatever. Like, you're pretty much looking at two guaranteed impactful picks, maybe three, depending on how the third rounder works out. The fourth rounder, I don't think you can count on that at this point. But I think when you look at offensively, and you look at what some of these teams did last year, right? Like, look at the Detroit Lions. I mean, the Detroit Lions didn't have a very good defense last year. I mean, just go back and look at some of these playoff teams, and it doesn't take an elite defense to get in the playoffs as long as you have a really good offense. And now, again, I'm not saying that the Bears' offense is going to be elite, or I'm not even going to say it's going to be top 10, because I think that's lofty expectations with a rookie quarterback. But like you pointed out, the offensive line, in my opinion, has gotten better. I think just addition by subtraction in terms of, you know, no more Cody White here trying to force that situation. No more trying to make it seem like Lucas Patrick was anything more than a backup interior lineman. Like, you finally get, you know, a solid group of centers between Coleman Shelton, who is, again, a better pass, you know, a better run blocker than he is pass blocker. And then Ryan Bates as well, who's not really a natural center, who's graded out relatively okay, when all things considered. But again, I mean, you're looking at these receivers and, you know, going back to that number nine overall pick and what they can do. I mean, they have a lot of different options. You know, if one of Roman Dunze falls, or, you know, Malik Nabers falls at number nine, you got a really good situation there. If they decide to go with a left tackle, let's just say Joe Alt falls, or they really love one of these other guys, you can probably turn around and get a third, at minimum, fourth round pick for Braxton Jones. I mean, he's still an ascending guy. I don't think he should be replaced. I think maybe even if his floor is like, or his ceiling is like a Charles Leno Jr., I mean, there's still quite a bit of value in that, at least for the next 2 years on a cheap rookie deal. But like, you know, you point out the receivers and it's like, man, you got DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's probably going to miss some games because he has, but even last year, I mean, he put up pretty damn similar numbers to DJ Moore, and he played in, I think it was what, it was like four or five less games. Then you have Cole Kmet, you have Gerald Everett, who they added is that, you know, that true U tight end. I mean, they're in a really, really good spot right now. And take out all the craziness of the quarterback conversation over the last few months. Like, I don't know how anybody could not be feeling really good about the direction of this team. I mean, I said it, you know, I said it last week and I'll say it again, like, playoffs should be the expectation for the Bears this year. I'm not saying they should go out and win a Super Bowl, but playoffs should absolutely be the expectation this year, whether it's a seventh seed in the wild card, whether it's a fifth seed in the wild card, whether they somehow win the division. Like, this is a team that is built to start winning. And again, that doesn't mean a Super Bowl. That doesn't mean getting the NFC Championship game. But I think that this is the first year in a while where you can look at this team and say, okay, this team is ready to get in the playoffs and maybe squeak out a win and really build on the future.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, and that's accelerated even more if Caleb Williams does have a big rookie season like someone like CJ Stroud did. You know, it just takes that, those expectations, you know, to the next level, especially after what we saw last season from this team, which, you know, we have to admit they played better down the stretch. We all thought it was going to be the end for Matt Eberflus, the end for a lot of things with this franchise, but they did kind of turn it around there at the end and won some games, were in a lot of those games that, you know, even they lost outside of the Green Bay game. But yeah, I mean, you know, those expectations will be elevated, and you know, especially if Caleb Williams is the guy. And I just go back to, like, the Bears are putting the right pieces around him. And I agree. Like, they do need to address some spots. I really think the defensive line is probably the biggest need on that side of the football right now. You know, finding legit center for the future, potentially upgrading there at left tackle. Like, when I look at this draft, I look at number 9. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued by the chance of getting more draft picks, or, you know, picking up some more this year. But at the same time, like, you know, the Bears are going to probably have their option of a player that they really like, whether it's Dallas Turner, Jared Vries, you know, someone even like Roma Dunze, potentially one of the offensive tackles that'll be sitting there. Or even, you know, if they, I would advise against it, and it wouldn't be my favorite pick, but if they really fall in love with someone like Brock Bowers, the tight end at 9, you know, they would have their pick of who they want. And it's going to make for a pretty interesting decision for Ryan Poles, because we do know he does like to trade and he does like to pick up more draft capital. He does one of these quarterbacks. Do they fall to that number 9 spot and a team gets, you know, desperate and trades up? Those are all kind of the big storylines to kind of watch here the next few weeks as we get into the draft.
Yeah, one, I think that, you know, obviously I feel like for the most part we can kind of move past the majority of the quarterback conversation, and in terms of at least, like, I don't think it's really a mystery at this point, right? So we can kind of move on in the number 9 overall pick. And I can see both sides of the argument. I mean, I just did a mock draft. What was that, like a week or two ago? I think it was, I mean, it was right after that first wave of free agency. I think it was right after they got Keenan Allen. And, you know, I projected them to trade down. And, you know, it's one of those situations where I can see it both ways. And I've gone back and forth. And I think the one thing that I keep coming back to is this, right? Because you're looking at a situation where I think, you know, if you kind of look ahead a little bit and you project, right, the Bears are going to go quarterback. I think at this point in time, I think it's safe to assume one way or another, the first 3 teams on the board are going quarterback. I personally would be pretty shocked if New England didn't, you know, just kind of listening to what Gerard Mayo had to say. I tend to believe that there's some posturing going on right now between, you know, Washington and New England, where New England's kind of trying to leak maybe their interests, or, you know, kind of push the, you know, the quote unquote better of the two quarterbacks so they can get their guy. Honestly, the way I see it playing out is I think it's going to go Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels to Washington. And I think Drake May is going to be the pick at 3. I know JJ McCarthy's getting all this hype and a lot of people say Drake May is the 4th quarterback. I will not be willing to, it's hard for me to accept the fact that he may be the 3rd pick. Like, there's no way without seeing it play out that I think he's going to be the 4th quarterback off the board. But let's just pretend for a second that 3 quarterbacks go and you have a team in the Minnesota Vikings, and I don't even think we've touched on this since it happened. They traded back into the first round. They got pick number 23 from Houston. So they've got pick 23 and they got pick 11. Like, that right there is prime real estate, probably not to go up to 2, and they may have to add on a little bit more to go to 3. But, you know, to go to 4 or 5 with Arizona or with the Chargers, I mean, you're sitting there pretty right now. And I think that Arizona makes a lot of sense to trade down again just because they need a lot of talent. I think the Chargers make a lot of sense to trade down. But I think when it's all said and done, you're going to have 4 quarterbacks and 1 receiver that go within the first, let's just say, 6 picks of the draft. So, you know, whether that's the Giants taking the 4th quarterback at number 6 or that's Minnesota trading up to 4 or 5, you know, you pretty much have 1 gap to fill in there. And the way that I've been kind of projecting it out, mocking it out, is that there's going to be 4 quarterbacks go and there's going to be 2 receivers go and 1 offensive tackle. So that's 7 picks that gets you all the way to the Falcons at 8. They signed Darnell Mooney. They traded for Rondell Moore. They need a lot of help on the defense side of the ball, especially at defensive end. Logically speaking, I think that defensive end makes the most sense. I think Dallas Turner makes the most sense. So, I mean, right there, you're looking at a situation where either Joe Alt's going to fall, Dallas Turner is going to fall, or Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers, you know, whatever. You know, one of those 2 receivers is going to fall. So the Bears are going to be sitting there at 8 with either the top tackle on the board, the top defensive player on the board as a whole, or one of those top 3 receivers, which frankly in any other class would be going, they would be the number 1 receiver in that class. To me, it's hard for me to mentally justify, even when I try to do it, even when I put that mock out, I didn't feel great about it, because it's hard for me to look at that and say you could be getting a potentially elite top of the line talent at number 9, like a, you know, a true top 5 player in most classes at number 9. And that's kind of where I struggle because, yes, I agree the Bears need to build through the draft, and no, I don't particularly buy into the logic that, well, you know, your second round pick this year is Montez Sweat, and your fourth round pick this year is Keenan Allen, and your fifth round pick this year is Ryan Bates. It's like, okay, yes, I'll give you Montez Sweat, because Montez Sweat signed a 4-year deal that just kicks in this year. As long as he plays that through, like, you know, you're not going to get better production out of a second round pick. But I mean, we're talking, and I love Keenan Allen receiver, but at the same time, like, I look at this and it's like, is Keenan Allen going to be here for more than 1 year? I mean, Ryan Pohl spoke with the media today as we're recording this on a Monday at the owners' meetings. I mean, he basically said that they have a way that they like to do things with contracts. And my guess, and again, this is just my guess, he's going to want to reward at least one of his guys before he goes out and hands out, you know, a 2 or 3 year deal with a year and a half guarantee to a guy like Keenan Allen on top of this year. My guess would be DJ Moore. I mean, DJ Moore, really, if you look at the receiver market, he's pretty underpaid right now, especially when you look at what the Bears are paying him. So I don't know that you can get that guarantee that Keenan Allen's going to be here past this year. Is it worth it in the long run to surround your young quarterback with, you know, top receiving options? Yes. But I don't know that I can look at that and objectively say, like, yeah, you know, Keenan Allen's their fourth round pick this year, especially if we only have him for 1 year. The fifth round pick, Ryan Bates, it is what it is. Very good chance that, you know, fifth round picks lasting on the roster for more than 2 years, which is what Ryan Bates has left on his contract, probably not overly high. But again, when I go back to this, I'm looking at this team and they have multiple holes, but I also feel like it's naive, the same way as I felt like it was naive when people are saying, well, the Bears just need to trade down again, because if they trade down, then, you know, they can keep Justin Fields as their quarterback and they're going to have all these draft picks. Well, that's assuming that they hit on all these draft picks. Like, we don't know that the Bears are going to do that. The Bears did really well last year. They got Darnell Wright. Darnell Wright looks to be ascending. They got Tyreek Stevenson. Tyreek Stevenson looks to be ascending over the second half of the year. Neither one of those guys, as much as I like them, neither one of those guys are guaranteed. And when I look at this, it's like, you can get two potentially top-end talents at number one and number nine, or you can get your quarterback at number one and you can trade down at number nine, but that talent drop-off from nine to, let's just say, 15, let's just say you add a second or third-round pick in there, the talent drop-off may not be worth the extra second-round pick that you're going to get this year. So if anything, I don't know how you feel. If anything, I feel like Ryan Poles is going to find a way to leverage that extra second-round pick that they have next year. I could be wrong. I think that he's going to probably try to leverage the Bears pick more than Carolina's pick in the second round, but I could see him using that as a way to maybe, you know, get back into the late second, early third this year or something like that. Or as we get closer to the season, or when we get into the season with the trade deadline, maybe he says, hey, I'm going to trade, you know, one of these future second round picks for a defensive tackle or defensive end or whatever hole they have. But that's kind of where I keep going back. Like, we know all these holes aren't going to be fixed in 1 year. They've done a pretty solid job so far. You've got two really good shots, like two really, really good shots at two top 10 picks to get this thing right. I don't know that it's worth mortgaging that second, you know, top 10 pick in order to trade down and take, you know, a higher wild card than it would be, you know, later on in the draft, but still taking that wild card. You know, I don't know, man. I don't know. Where are you at with it?
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of with my whole thing with the debate on should they trade back at number one and take, you know, the quote unquote haul. For me, it kept on going back with that. It was, you know, are you guaranteed to get multiple playmakers that can change your franchise, like someone like Caleb Williams could? I kept on coming back to the result of, I think taking a chance on a generational quarterback.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's UNIFYDHealing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Outweighs anything else in terms of the quote-unquote haul that fans were saying the Bears are going to get. While we didn't, you know, people were saying it'd be a Godfather haul, be all this, that'd be the greatest ever. Well, there's a reason why that is, and that's the play of Caleb Williams and the chance that he's that good. So when I look at number nine, and we talk about the holes this team has on the roster, I keep going back to I think you take a player number nine. Like I mentioned earlier, like you're going to get your choice of a player that's high on your board. Like when the Bears make the decision that they're going to take Caleb Williams, which pretty much 99% sounds like they're going to take Caleb Williams, you're going to cross off Jaden Daniels. You're probably going to cross off Drake May and J.J. McCarthy. And when those players go off the board, you're essentially building your board. Okay, Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably our top player, not quarterback. He'll probably be off the board. They'll have a lot of guys that they like. I imagine they'll have 4 to 6 different options that they would really like there at number nine. And if you could go out and get a tackle like Joe Alt or the Penn State tackle to kind of solidify your offensive line and build in the trenches, that's the other thing too, is we keep hearing for Brian Poles, you know, since it's day one introductory press conference, they want to build in the trenches. And it kind of felt like that argument from the people that wanted the Bears to trade back at one and get players in those trenches. You know, you could still get a good player in the trenches. Trading number one was not the only way to build this roster. And if you get that player at tackle, I think that's a big plus. If you could get an edge rusher, you know, Dallas Turner, Jared Freese, that's a big plus to me. If you could get a wide receiver like a Dunze or Neighbors if he falls, that's also a big plus to me. I think those are the types of guys that could come in and help your team right away, which would give you two players in that situation, Caleb Williams, and then you're picking number nine, and then you kind of start to build from there. You use that second rounder from – you know, 2025, potentially, if you have to acquire more picks, or you sit back and say, hey, you know, our roster is what it is right now. We just acquired two potential blue chip prospects. Let's kind of just build around that and see where we are to start next season. I do think you take a player at nine. The only way I don't is if you think, you know, I'm not high on one of these guys and I have a team calling me to move up for a quarterback and I can stay in the top, let's say 15 to 17 ish. That kind of be the range, you know, pick up a first rounder there, potentially pick up another pick this year, another pick next year. I would be willing to understand that logic. Because I mean, I'm kind of putting together a mock draft today and I'm looking and I'm thinking, okay, where's JJ McCarthy going to go? And I look at the teams that are in the top 15 that really need a quarterback. And you look, man, and there's a good amount of, you know, obviously Washington, New England, they're sitting at 2 and 3. They need quarterbacks. The Vikings, the Giants are a team that could go after a quarterback.
The Raiders,
the Broncos. Yeah. I mean, the Saints, would they try to take a risk on a, you know, maybe if someone, one of these quarterbacks falls, there's a lot of options for the Bears to trade back, but that'd be my only parameter on it would just be like, it'd have to be within that top 16 ish. And I'd have to get a pick, that pick and another day two pick this year, at least.
Well, but I think you bring up a good point though. And I think that is like the return that you're talking about is the quarterback tax. And hey, you know, you can't make any guarantees. I mean, we're sitting here today is March 25th. Like we are exactly a month away from the draft. Like you can't sit here and make any guarantees to say, you know, and we saw Schefter do this a few days before the draft in 2021, where he said, basically, I guarantee you that, you know, four quarterbacks are going to go within the first seven picks. It feels like this year, there are going to be four quarterbacks that are going to go within the first six picks. So it's like you talk about that trade down and that value that they could get going from 9 to 14, 15, 16. But in all reality, like when you look at it, one, the teams that need quarterbacks are more in the 11, 12, and 13 range, right? And obviously the Giants in front of the Bears. So it's like, even if one of those quarterbacks does fall and there is that quarterback tax, I don't know that you're talking about a worthwhile return when it's all said and done, because you're looking at it from, let's just say, maybe I'm wrong. I cannot imagine there's a scenario where the Bears are going to be sitting there at 9 and they're going to gift the Vikings the opportunity to come up and grab a quarterback that they're going to have to compete against two times a year. I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe I'm wrong, but even let's just say 12 or 13. I mean, even with a quarterback tax, you're going to be lucky to get a second round pick this year. Denver doesn't have a second round pick, so you can already rule them out. And then, you know, with the Raiders, I mean, they're kind of starting to recoup some of their picks from before, but it seems more likely, even with a quarterback tax, maybe you get a third this year and maybe you get a third next year or something like that. But I feel like the trade down from last year, because if you look at the points charts, like obviously the first like two or three picks are always going to hold the most value, right? And then it's a pretty steady decline, especially when you start getting past that top five. When you get to 9 and that pick value, 9 versus, you know, the gap between 9 and like 15 or 16 is really worth like a late second, early third. So it's kind of a tough situation when you start looking at it. And like I said, if there's a quarterback tax, it makes more sense. But it feels like the Bears are going to be in a situation where, I don't know, I don't know how you feel, but like to me, trading from 9 to 12 or whatever the hell it would be if one of those quarterbacks was randomly there and getting a third round pick, I don't think that that's worth it, because then you've got to wait, let's just say, 3 or 4 picks in order to make your pick. Maybe you like Brian Thomas almost as much as you like Rome Odunze. Maybe you like Olu just as much as you like, you know, some of these other tackles. Because, I mean, that's kind of the thing. Outside of Joe Aldo, I mean, these are all mix and match guys. J.C. Latham could go high. The kid.
Oh, there's a lot of tackle. I mean, I was just looking at mock drafts. Like you said, the kid from Oregon State and the kid from Washington are now kind of shooting up the board. So, I mean, I agree with you, because, like, you know, the quarterbacks are going to be the pick. If you're going to trade 9, it's going to be for a team that needs a quarterback. And I agree 100%. You're going to rule out Minnesota. The Bears would obviously not do that. My thing with it is, like, we right now, the boards that we see now, these mock drafts and everything like that, going to be totally different, you know, come April. And I mean, what was it? Will Levis was like supposed to go. A lot of analysts had Will Levis as their number 2-3 quarterback, I think it was, whatever it was that last year, and he fell out of the first round or whatever that situation was. I just, for me, it's like, if I would rather take a player there. I do think, though, if a quarterback falls and a team gets desperate, I think there would be at least 1 to 2 players, if they could stay in that top 15, that they would still want. They could potentially even gotten a number 9.
Yeah, well, I think, and that's kind of the thing, right, as you start looking at, like, I feel like right around 10 is where things kind of start to fall off a little bit. Now, I don't even know if I'd say fall off. Like, it's just a different tier, right? Like, because it feels like the Bears are sitting in one of those positions. And again, this is completely predicated on the thought that 4 quarterbacks go with, you know, before the Bears pick. Because if 4 quarterbacks go before the Bears pick, I mean, just do the math. Like, you're already to pick 5 at that point, right? So it's like, even if the Chargers sit there and they, you know, the Chargers take a receiver, okay, cool. And then the Giants take a receiver, okay, cool. It's like Tennessee's not going to take a receiver. I would be absolutely shocked if Atlanta takes a receiver. So then you've got Rome Odunze. So let's just say, let's run it back a little bit, and let's just say, because there's been a lot of mocks, it's a receiver, receiver, receiver. So you have, you know, let's just say all 3 receivers go. You're already to the 8th pick at that point. So either you're getting Dallas Turner or you're getting Joe Alt. Like, there's not, like, as long as 4 quarterbacks go before the Bears pick, like, there is going to be a top talent on the board. Your choice of offensive tackle, your basically the remainder of those 3 receivers, which, again, in my opinion, they're all in any other class. These guys are all the number 1 receiver off the board, or your pick of the, you know, the best defensive lineman in the draft. So it's just, I don't know. Like, I look at it and it feels like there, it's going to be more advantageous for the Bears to sit there and stick at 9. Okay, yeah, is it going to suck where, you know, you have all that fun within the first hour and a half of the draft, and then basically you go into night 2 and you're like, okay, well, they got one more pick. And, you know, yeah, it's like, okay, so then, you know, you got to wait, what was it, be 3.5 hours until they pick at 75, and then they're going to have one pick on day 3. It's like, I get it. But at the same time, like, you're also talking about getting a franchise quarterback and another elite talent at number 9. So it's like, again, you kind of have to weigh the quantity versus quality. And I thought it was interesting because, again, Ryan Poles spoke today at the owners' meetings. And one of the things that he said that he talked about was, you know, surrounding, like, he understands that he needs to surround the quarterback that he's going to take with the best possible talent. And I think you can take that a multitude of different ways. And that could be, again, they could go out and make, you know, an unexpected move for another receiver. They could take Brock Bowers for all we know. Like, they could, whatever. I mean, they could take an offensive tackle at 9. Like, it's completely debatable, but it feels like it's kind of one of those things where Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus obviously work in tandem. Ryan Poles is going to do the majority of the acquisitions, but obviously the coaching staff is going to have a say in what they do. But it feels like Ryan Poles kind of said, like, all right, we've given Matt Eberflus a lot. Like, look at their acquisitions over the first 2 off seasons that they've had. The majority of those big acquisitions have been defense, on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
So it's like, at some point in time, you have to level things out on the offensive side of the ball. And that's, it just, like, I get it. I 100% get the logic. I really do. I get why people say they need an edge rusher because, I mean, arguably, yeah, defensive line, whether it's, you know, defensive tackle or edge rusher, like, it's absolutely the biggest need. But at least for this year. But I think when you look and project out, I think the overall returns of making sure that your rookie quarterback is surrounded by the best possible supporting staff you can have is going to pay a hell of a lot more dividends than going to the defense side of the ball or trading down and taking the chance that, you know, let's just say that Brian Thomas is their target and they trade down like 15 or 16. Is the value of him not being nearly as good as Rome Odunze and getting, you know, a second or third round pick that is probably going to be a solid player but not an elite contributor? Like, are 2 solid players or, you know, above average players worth a potentially elite player at 9? Whether that's a receiver, whether that's an offensive tackle, whether that's a defensive end, to me, the answer is no. Like, I think the Bears are at a point, and you mentioned it earlier, and this has been kind of a, you know, a niche type of term used a lot lately, blue chip. Look at the Bears roster right now. How many blue chip players do they really have? I mean, honestly, like, thinking about not projecting ahead, but, like, looking at it right now, how many blue chip players
let me ask you this first. I think blue chip is top 2 to 3 at your position.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Right?
Like, yeah. I say 3 because I would think, you know, defensive back, I would say top 3-ish because how defensive backs are so interchangeable. I don't think they have any right now. The potential, I think they have a few.
Okay. Potential. See, I would classify blue chip a little bit differently. I would say more of like a top, just like more of a generalized top player at the position, right? So I would say like Jalen Johnson would be a blue chip player, right? Because
that would be the one that I would, that was the one guy I was teetering on.
Yeah. I would say that Montez Sweat is in that category as well.
Honestly. See, I'm not there yet because I look at the pass rushers in this league and I think there are, the top 3 to 4, I think, are significant, or 2 to 3 are significantly better. I think he's like right in that second tier.
Yeah,
that's just
and that's fair, and that's what I'm saying. So, but I mean, okay, let's just say 1 or 2. I mean, that's still like if you're looking at like Super Bowl contenders, they've got what, 5 to 7.
Yeah. So
I guess that's kind of my point. Like, we know Kevin Byard isn't going to be a blue chip player anymore. Like. Yeah. Okay, you know what? DJ Moore is probably another one of those guys I think you could probably argue is out on the precipice. Same thing with Keenan Allen, assuming that he continues to produce.
And I think the potential, you could say Darnell Wright's on that path.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if Tevin Jenkins could stay healthy for an entire season, I think that he could be right in that conversation as well. So,
I think I'd even argue Cole Kmet's on a path. I don't think he's close. I think if he continues to get better, just because of how weak the tight ends are in this league, I think he eventually could be in a top 3 to 4 or 5 tight ends.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's like, he has those games where you're like, damn, this dude's actually pretty good. And then he has those games where you're like, what the hell are you doing? You know, like,
he's got to get better. I agree. He's got to continue to get better.
But I think the overall point, you know, is like, you start looking at this and it's like, the Bears need elite players. Obviously, if you get an elite quarterback, like if you get a top 5 quarterback in the league, like it doesn't matter, right? I mean, like you're going to be a perennial playoff team every single year. I mean, we've seen some pretty questionable teams get into the playoffs. I mean, let's just be honest. Like, and I'm not degrading Kansas City, but like this is probably Kansas City's worst roster that they've had within the Super Bowl contention window, and they still won the Super Bowl because they have an elite quarterback and they have some other blue chip talent players like Chris Jones, so on and so forth. But I mean, look at the receivers that they've won their last two Super Bowls with. Like, I think that's kind of the thing, is like elite blue chip players elevate the talent around him. I mean, we saw the same thing, even if you don't think Montez Sweat is quite in that blue chip, you know, level yet. Like, he still came in and that entire defense flipped. It complete 180. The pass rush was a hell of a lot better. Like, they were a completely different defense with adding a player like that. So I guess that's kind of my point, is like, I look at this and say, okay, we know they're taking a quarterback at 1. There's no guarantees there. There's no guarantees with any of these picks. But again, like the odds of taking a guy at 9 with this class, just this specific class as a whole, versus trading down and getting an extra second, I mean, that's extremely optimistic. More likely an extra third at this point, if you're not willing to move down super, super far. It's like, the risk probably outweighs the reward when you're talking about a much higher potential for a blue chip at 9 versus, you know, 2 shots at, again, above average players. And who knows, maybe you hit, maybe they become one of the elite players at their position. But there's a much higher chance that you're going to hit on a player at 9 than trading down and having 2 shots at it. So either way, everybody's different. Everybody sees it differently. I look at it this way. I look at the Bears from a perspective of, are the Bears going to be a Super Bowl contender this year? No, absolutely not. They're going to have a rookie quarterback. I think even if everything broke right, I don't think that they're to me, they're not a super, then that's fine. They're not going to be a Super Bowl contender in 2024 with a rookie quarterback. Oh my God. Like, that there's a lot worse things that can happen. But I think that, as we saw in 2018, right, you're finally coming out of the rebuild. Like, you're still adding pieces, but the core of the foundation has been laid. You finally got some good players. If you get the right conglomeration of players, things can flip in a hurry. And frankly, had Mitchell Trubisky been Patrick Mahomes, I mean, this is a completely different conversation, right? So you get the quarterback right and you add more, you know, more top tier talent around the team, whether that's defensively, offensively, whatever the case may be. I think that the Bears are finally at that point where they can stop chasing above average and they can start chasing elite core players that they're going to have for a while. That's where my mindset is. I know everybody's going to disagree. I don't even fault anybody for disagreeing, but that's kind of where my mindset is. Like, start hunting the top end players and start getting those guys on your roster and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, they need the top end players. I mean, it's like you said, like we went through that list and you could argue 1 or 2 blue chip players with a potential of a couple more, I think would be fair to say. I just, you know, if they get the blue chip player at quarterback, obviously a lot of this definitely changes, but I'm with you. I wouldn't trade the pick. I would honestly keep it. That would just be my parameters for trading it, would be trying to get those picks if there's the quarterback and all that. But we'll have to see how it goes. There'll be a lot of draft talk between now. We're officially, a month away from the NFL draft in Detroit. And there'll be tons more coming out.
So quickly before we, because I'm sure we're about to wrap up. We haven't talked about it. Like, what were your thoughts on the Keenan Allen thing? Because I feel like on the surface, like it's a really good move to add a top end receiver. But you gave up a 4th-round pick, and he's on the last year of a deal at 32.
Yeah, that's what I'd be a little worried about, is the age. He's on the last year of his deal. Does he still have it to produce at a high level? How much money is he going to want? Because correct me if I'm wrong. So we know he turned down, he wanted to take a pay cut, turned that down. there was a report that the Chargers went to him a couple times for a new deal or something that was significantly less.
Yeah, well, so there was reports that basically, well, he confirmed he didn't want to take a pay cut. And then there was a report that came out from, I think it was like the Athletics Chargers writer, Daniel Popper, or something like that. And he basically said that the Chargers had multiple contract discussions and offers, and every single time that he turned it down. But then Keenan Allen's agent on Twitter actually came out and said, you guys gave us one contract offer, and that contract offer happened to be considerably less money, you know, market value, and you wanted them to take a pay cut this year. So, but again, like, I'm looking at it from a perspective of, I think he'll produce completely fine this year. I think he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver. I'm not worried about this year. I think it's a great move in the now. But again, he's like, you're talking about an extension. So let's just say you give him a 2-year extension on top of this year. You guarantee him 1 year out of that. I mean, one, what kind of money are we talking? And two, like, when does the fall off happen?
Well,
I mean, he's that kind of player where he could probably play a few more years at a pretty high level. But
yeah, again,
I mean,
so he restructured in 2023. He had the out in 2024, traded, cap hits $23.1 million. His cap hits from this new deal from 2020, 10.3, 15.7, 19.2, the restructure, 12.7, and then this year, 23.1. I mean, I would kind of go with what you were saying. I think you're on the right track there. Like, would you give him a 2-year deal with an out? Or, I mean, the money is the important thing here, because,
well, and how likely is he going to be to, like, this is his last chance to get paid. How likely, yes, is he going to want to, like, is he going to take a 2-year deal at, like, I mean, what do you give him, the Mike Evans deal? I don't know. I mean, that's the thing, is like, Mike Evans is around the same age. Mike Evans has been a similar producer, but Mike Evans has also been a considerably healthier receiver over the last few years.
Yeah, and I think he's, what, the only – Mike Evans is the only receiver to go over 1,000 yards in, like, all 10 seasons or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
I got to look that up. There's some crazy stat where he was, like, the only receiver to ever do this in, like, not even, like, Bucs history, but, like, NFL history. Yeah, he's the only receiver – let's see, yeah, 10 seasons – 1,000 yards.
Sounds about
every
right.
Season. And I mean, some of these seasons he played 13 games, 15 games, 15 games, 15, yeah. 15.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he's been considerably healthier than Keenan Allen. Like, I'm looking at his contract right now. So Mike Evans's contract, it was billed as considerably higher than it ended up being, the whole up to thing. I hate that. In the beginning of free agency, where agents are trying to make things look better. So he ended up getting a 2-year base $1 million or base value of $41 million or $29 million of that guaranteed, right? But the way that it was structured, he basically has an extra $11 million to performance and incentives and escalators, blah, 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 blah. The way it was built out was, he's making $22.358 million this year, $13 million. Or sorry, I'm an idiot. $5 million or $5.5 million this year, $22.358 in 2025, and he's got $13 million in void money. The thing is, the voids are not something that the Bears want to start getting into, because you have Caleb Williams on a, you know, assuming that he's a guy, I think at this point we could probably safely assume that. Like, at this point in time, you're going to have him for 4 years, you know, relatively cheap, and then the fifth-year option. But, and I know everybody banks on the fifth-year option. The reality of it is, if you're one of the elite quarterbacks, you never get to the fifth-year option. The fifth-year option is never a thing. Like, by that point, you've already extended the contract, and you're – I mean, by the time Caleb Williams was to get paid, like, Caleb Williams, he's probably going to be making, like, $60, $65 million a year. Again, the cap will go up, but – you don't start doing void years on a 2-year deal this early into a rookie quarterback window. So, you know, you're not even really getting the benefit of, like, if you give Keenan Allen the same exact deal, 2 years, $41 million, you're probably going to have to extend DJ Moore. So you're probably looking at DJ Moore making close to, like, you know, $23 to $25 million a year. And then you're going to be paying Keenan Allen, let's just say $20.5, $21 million a year. It's just, there's a lot of risk involved with that. And again, I mean, Mike Evans got $29 million guaranteed out of the $41 million. So he basically got what, a little over 60% guaranteed. I don't know that the Bears are going to be comfortable doing that type of contract with them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, because like you said, dude, like this is it. This is 1 year deal right now. His age, and it's a fourth round pick. I mean, I like it for the immediate future. Obviously, it helps Caleb Williams. It helps the Bears' offense. I just, you got to get him locked up at a good price. And like I said, you don't want to get into those expired years and all that stuff. So
he didn't sound like, I don't know, man. He. Everybody interprets things differently. He didn't sound like a guy that was going to take a discount from me.
I took it as he wanted to be there. It was too early to kind of start talking about that. It was still fresh. And I also took it how you kind of took it too, where he's at the point in his career, this is the last big contract, and he's not going to be taking a team discount for a team that he just arrived.
Well, and there's been a lot of talk. I mean, granted, he said that he was fine going to Chicago, but there's been a lot of talk that he didn't really want to play in the cold. I mean, he could because I can't imagine the Bears are going to franchise tag a 33-year-old receiver. I mean, he could very easily say, I'm going to play out the last year of my deal and I'm going back west. Like, he could very easily do that. Or he could very easily get to Chicago and things could really click and he could like it. I mean, I think there is a lot of value and having a guy like Keenan Allen around, I think it's just one of those, like, you still want to be able to take advantage. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, they take Rome Odunze at 9. Like, you want to have, you want to be able to capitalize some on the fact that you're going to have a rookie first round receiver that hopefully is really freaking good in this situation, where you can capitalize on not having to pay two receivers top dollar, right? And if you're paying Keenan Allen top dollar and you're paying DJ Moore top dollar, it kind of defeats the purpose in some way. So again, I don't know. It's just, I don't think it's as easy as saying, oh my God, the Bears got Keenan Allen for fourth round pick. Like, it's, to me, it's not that simple. He's 32 years old. You know, he's a pretty similar receiver to Brandon Marshall, in my opinion, where I think he will age well. I think I could see him still producing, you know, 1,000-yard seasons at 34, 35 years old. But at the same time, like, Brandon Marshall signed a pretty team-friendly deal when he signed that with the Bears. And then when he went to the Jets, he was still playing on that deal, and the Jets got a pretty good deal out of that. Like, you're looking at it from the Bears' perspective. If you're paying the dude $20 million a year and you're having to guarantee 60 to 70% of that, you're pretty much guaranteeing him 3 years total, you know, including this coming season. That's a sizable risk for a guy that, again, when healthy, one of the better receivers in the league. When healthy being the key words, and we've seen how that's kind of played out with, especially when you start talking about the offensive line, like, it's, when healthy is great, but the best, you know, the best value that a player can have is availability. And if he's missing 4 or 5 games a season, that's not great. I mean, we saw the same thing with Jalen Johnson last year. It's just tough, man. I don't think it's as black and white, as cut and dry as what everybody says. I think that there's some nuance to it, and obviously we won't know until we get closer to whether they extend him, how the season plays out, or whatever the case may be. But I just, it feels like there's more risk and more, I don't know if I'd say throwaway, but I think there's definitely a chance that this looks dumb. I don't even say dumb, but not great long-term. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, it was a move, obviously, to help this year, but there's a lot more to it due to the contract situation and the draft pick given up. But, Aaron, where can everyone follow you on Twitter at, and where can everyone read your work?
Yep, you can find me at Aaron Lemming NFL, and you can read my work on thebearreport.com.
Awesome. You can follow the Bear Report on Twitter at just Bear Report. You can follow me at Zach, Z-A-C-K underscore Pearson. You can please rate, review, subscribe on all major podcasting platforms. Helps us and picks for polls. Until next time, everyone, please stay healthy. Please stay safe.